Hey everybody, it's Matt. Welcome or welcome back to the Journey Church podcast. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you can automatically get our weekly episodes. And you might want to go ahead and subscribe to our Journey YouTube channel as well. You'll find messages, music, interviews, inspiring stories, and more for you all right there. Now, I hope this episode helps you take your next step in following Jesus. Today, I want to start with a little bit of self-evaluation. I'm going to ask you three questions. The good news is you don't have to answer them out loud, okay? The even better news is you shouldn't elbow the person next to you as I'm asking these questions. You don't need to answer for anybody else. You can just answer for yourself, all right? The first question is this. When is the last time you worried about something that actually hasn't happened yet? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if it's kids, school, tests, whatever, but you're worrying about something that hasn't even happened. You're just worried about the fact it could happen. Or the flip side of that coin is, when's the last time you felt tension about, you got all amped up and tense about something because you weren't sure it was going to happen? Like you hadn't even gotten there to know if it would or not, but you were already tense and amped up over it. And the third question is, when's the last time you had difficulty sleeping because you couldn't get your mind to stop racing? You know who you are. You know, you can't go to sleep at night, or you get to sleep, and I'm guilty of this one. You get to sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night and then you're up for 2 hours, you know? Mind's just racing, you can't stop. If you have had any of these experiences, and if you haven't, you're a liar. If you have had any of these experiences, then let me tell you what that was. That was this word right here, anxiety. Anxiety is the most common health challenge in America, in our culture today. 19% of all American adults experience anxiety. That is roughly 40 million people in our country, one in five. You just look around the crowd, you know, one in five of us currently experiencing anxiety. And if you segment out or target teenagers, and those of you who are high school students, college students, you understand this fully. It gets even worse. 36% of teenagers struggle with anxiety, more than one in three. And what's most difficult or challenging about this is the fact that if you don't have anxiety, you don't understand how impactful it is on people who have it. As a matter of fact, there's a book called Anxious People that was written by a man named Frederick Bachman. In this book, here's what he writes about how so many people still don't understand this. He says, unfortunately, I think most people would still get more sympathy from their colleagues and bosses at work if they show up looking rough one morning and they say, I'm hungover, than if they say, I'm suffering from anxiety. Now, I see a lot of you shaking your heads, and I don't know if it's because you've got the I'm hungover experience or the I'm suffering from anxiety, but well, this is a sermon for another day, all right? You understand that, though, don't you? You get that it's true. You just don't, if you haven't experienced anxiety, most people don't understand how difficult it is, which is a problem, which needs to change. Because no one is created to carry anxiety alone. So if you were not with us last week, let me catch you up. We are in week two of a series we're calling, How Are You Doing Really? And the goal of this series is, at least with some trusted friends, we hope you get to the point where when they ask you the question, how are you doing, you don't just say, I'm good or I'm fine, which is what we all say. But you at least have some trusted friends that you're willing to look at and be honest with and to be open with. And so what we're going to do over the next few weeks in this series is we're going to talk about some of the common mental health challenges that so many of us face. Next week, we're talking about depression. The week after that, we're talking about burnout. Not that any of us know anything about that, right? We're talking about burnout. The next week, May the 5th, and I'll keep reminding you of this, we're going to talk about suicide. And then the final week, we're going to talk about how to support and help family members who are struggling with all of this. But the goal, again, the tagline of this series is so important. It's finding hope for mental health. That is our goal. We want to help you find hope, and we want to help you find help, and we hope that you walk out of here encouraged if you or someone you love deals with some of this. So one of the things we've done is we have created a slew of free resources for you, and you can find them in our app, or you can go to journeycalway.com/resources. Everything is there. It's all free for you. Hopefully you'll find some of that to be helpful. The thing is, and this is my personal goal, the thing is, I just think this conversation needs to be normalized in the church. The safest place to talk about some of these struggles we all deal with should be the local church. This shouldn't be a big deal to share this and to talk about this with people. Because number one, not talking about is not working. We all know that. And number two, Scripture is full of stories of people who love God and dealt with mental health challenges. So it's not like there's a problem with that. It's not like there should be shame that comes along with that. It should be normal to talk about it. And so I'm going to say again what I said last week, and I'm probably going to say it every week because I just want to normalize this. You can have a growing faith in Jesus and mental health challenges at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. Or to be even more blunt about it, it's not a sin to struggle with mental distress. As a matter of fact, some of the strongest followers of Jesus that I know deal with mental health challenges. And they have had to learn how to lean in and trust God in ways that some of the rest of us haven't, as they have navigated all of this stuff. It's just not a sin to struggle with it, including this topic we're talking about today, anxiety. Now, when you think about anxiety, we tend to think about the debilitating kind, but there's also two other types of anxiety. Dr. Lana Marquise, who's with Harvard Medical School, she wrote a book called Almost Anxious. And the thing that makes this book so interesting is she actually identifies three different types of anxiety, one of which I don't think any of us think about very often. And the way she illustrates it is with this graph. So let me walk you through this real quick. So she says there is a version of anxiety here that she calls the zone that's actually a really beneficial type of anxiety. This is the kind of anxiety that helps you perform better. It's the nervous energy you get before you stand in front of a stage and speak to people. You know what I'm talking about? It's the butterflies in your stomach you get before you take a big test or you have a big game or, you know, whatever it is going on that you care about so much. That kind of anxiety at a low level actually helps you perform better. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a beneficial type of anxiety. Then she talks about, over here on the far right of the graph, diagnosable anxiety disorders. Now, this is completely debilitating anxiety. This is the kind of anxiety that keeps you from functioning in life in any meaningful or beneficial way. This is the kind that often has biological contributors to it. And you need a doctor, and you need medical professional help, and you need mental health professional help. You gotta have some people involved to help you figure it out. One in three Americans will be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder at some point in their life. One in three. So it's not a small problem. And you know, if you have experienced this, it can be really challenging to navigate and work your way through. But there is a third type of anxiety that she talks about that I think tends to get ignored that most of us aren't even aware of. It's what she calls this region right here of almost anxious. Almost anxious. The anxiety is not so strong, it should be diagnosed as an anxiety disorder. But this type of almost anxious anxiety cripples your ability to be who you want to be and to live life the way you want to live it. You're still living that way. You're still doing what you want to do. It's just not as easy. Some of the symptoms are you're easily annoyed. You're restless. You got nervous energy. You can't just sit still. You know, you can't just pause and relax and rest. You find yourself in situations where you just get amped up real easy. And all of us have been in this zone, in this region at different points, haven't we? We all know what that feels like. One in four Americans, Dr. Marquise says, is currently living in this almost anxious region. The easiest way to think about it is when you're in this region, anxiety is like a software virus on your laptop. So you know it's there. You know it's there. But it just slows everything down. The laptop still works. And eventually what happens? You forget about it, don't you? You just forget about it. You just assume, well, I guess, laptop's just getting old, whatever. When in reality, something is causing it. Something is forcing it to slow down. A better metaphor of this is what Jodi Picoult said. She described it this way. She said, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. That's a great picture, isn't it? It gives you something to do. It gets you nowhere. Some of you are wondering why this was sitting up here. You thought I was just getting old and needed to take a break. I get it. My knees are not that bad yet. So anyway, but this is a great picture of what anxiety is. You just get focused on something and you can't get your brain out of the loop, can you? You just can't get it out of the loop. I had a buddy of mine say, listen, my ADHD couldn't handle you talking and rocking at the same time. So my apologies to any of you who are like, oh, overstimulation now. Anyway, so this is exactly what anxiety looks like. And the almost anxious type of anxiety, it's always fueled by negative thinking patterns. Negative thinking patterns. So you find yourself thinking about something that could happen negative or might happen negative or might not happen the way you want to happen, and you start obsessing over it. This is what worry looks like. And you just can't stop. You just can't stop. What you don't realize, and scientists have figured this out, what you don't realize is the more you think a thought, what happens in your brain is it actually creates neural pathways. It's what they call it, neural pathways. So when you're sitting in the rocking chair being anxious about something and you're just over and over again, worry, 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 what you're doing without realizing is you're hurting yourself because you're creating neural pathways in your brain that you actually don't want to have. Now, the best way to think about a neural pathway is this. If you've ever been out in the woods and you saw a thicket or, you know, just a section that was full of brush, and then you see some paths through it, they were probably created by deer, whatever animals are out there. Those animals tend to take the same route through the brush because over time it knocks everything to the side and then it's easier to walk through and then it gets easier and then it gets easier, right? That's what's happening in your brain. When you think negative thoughts and focus on them, when you have a negative thinking pattern, it makes it easier the next time to have a negative thinking pattern, which makes it even easier the next time. And before you know it, you have created a neural pathway where it's just so much easier for your brain to come right back to the rocking chair. And all you think about is the negative, the negative, the negative. And so the question is, what do you do about that? Because some of you know what this feels like. You live with this. Some of you had no idea until right now. And you're like, oh no, I think I have a rocking chair in my head. Some of you have had loved ones telling you, you need to do something about that. And you've said, I don't have a problem. And this is the moment where you realize, oh crap, Matt just proved they were right, you know? So what are you going to do? How do you get out of negative thinking patterns? How do you get out of the rocking chair? How do you stop? So the Apostle Paul actually has some advice on this. And he's got some credibility. If you were with us last week, you remember, Paul went through several different circumstances in his life where he battled anxiety. He had a lot of reason to be anxious about things. And he had to learn how to get out of the rocking chair himself. And so he's writing a letter to Christians in the city of Philippi, and they're going through some circumstances that are creating high anxiety for them. And he gives them advice based on his own experience. He gives them a perspective to consider, and then he gives them two practices that will help them and help us stop the rocking chair and stand up. So here's what he had to say. He starts with the perspective. He says, the Lord is near, which you're like, what does that have to do with anything? And thank you, Captain Obvious. You know, if you're a Christian, you're like, I know God's with me. He's going, no. You have to understand God is with you because you need to be aware of the fact that you are not alone. You're not alone. Now, there's a layer underneath that. Let me tell you what the layer is. In its simplest form, anxiety happens when you're trying to control something that is out of your control. That's what causes your anxiety. It's what causes mine. When we are trying to control something out of our control, just think about this rationally. Have you ever had anxiety about anything you knew you were in control of? No. If you know you're in control of it, you know you won't have any problems and you'll get the outcome you want. So you're not worried about that at all. You have anxiety when you have a child and you realize at 2 years of age, I can't control this kid anymore. That's when the anxiety spikes up, right? Or when you go to take a test and you're like, I actually can't control the outcome here. Or when you're applying for schools or applying for jobs and you're like, I don't have total control over this. Or when you have a health situation that you realize, wait a minute, I can't just fix this by having one less bowl of ice cream every night. That's when anxiety happens. Is when you start to try to control something that's out of your control. Which is why what Paul says here is so powerful. He's saying, you can't forget that you have a God right beside you who can control everything you can't. So if you're a follower of Jesus, you say you believe this. So do I. But he's going, you're in the rocking chair trying to control things out of your control, but you got a God who can be in perfect control over all that. So why don't you trust him? Why don't you try to control what you can control? Because trust doesn't mean I don't study and I just say, God, help me with the test and it works out. Or I don't apply for jobs. I say, God, I need one and he'll send one magically. It's not what it is. No, you do everything in your control. But you just trust him with everything that's not in your control. You say, well, how in the world do you do that, Matt? Well, Paul tells us. Here's the first practice he gives us. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, he didn't say don't be anxious about anything as a way to shame all of us who feel anxiety. This was more his way of saying, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to live in the rocking chair. There's a different way to think about this. I'll just put it this way. Anxiety is a signal. This is what Paul was saying. Anxiety is a signal. It's not a sin. Anxiety is a signal for you to surrender what you're trying to control is out of your control. That's all it is. When you feel anxiety, it should immediately trigger you to go, oh, wait a minute, I'm trying to control something I can't. I better surrender that to God. I better just trust him with it. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, Paul said you do it through prayer and petition, which was a way of saying, you just look at God and you say, I feel really anxious about the outcome of this. I don't have control of it, but I think you do. So I'm going to ask you for the outcome that I want. That's what you do. I'm going to do everything I can do, and I'm just going to ask you for the outcome that I want. And I'm going to trust the outcome to you. I'm going to surrender it to you, and I'm going to assume whatever outcome I get, you'll take care of me through it. Now, did you notice Paul said you do that with thanksgiving? Why in the world would he write that? Well, Paul was way ahead of his time when it came to understanding our brains. Paul says, while you're surrendering to God what's out of your control, why don't you thank him for the good you have? Why don't you thank him for the opportunity to handle what's in your control? Why don't you thank him for the opportunity you have to experience what you're currently experiencing, because there's positives in all of that. Why don't you find the good in your situation and go ahead and be grateful for it? You know why he said that? Because gratitude is powerful. Scientists have now discovered gratitude has the ability to rewire your brain. Gratitude has the ability, when you are anxious, to ground you and to change your neural pathways. It does. Paul was just ahead of his time. 2,000 years ago, he's going, when you find yourself in the rocking chair and you're trying to control things you can't control, how about you just give all of that to God, you surrender to him, you ask him to handle it, and then you focus on the good. You focus on what you're grateful for. You focus on what you can control. And he says, if you will, here's the promise. He says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And isn't this what we all want? We want peace. We want peace. We just want the peace to be able to be present, the peace to rest, the peace to stop the rocking chair. Paul says, well, this is how you get it. But you can't just pray and, you know, everything goes back to normal. You can't just pray your anxiety away. It's a piece of it. But Paul says, you got a little more work you have to do. He says, not only do you have to trust God with what's out of your control, but you have to train your thoughts. Here's how he described it. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, I want you to think about such things. This was Paul's way of saying, you've got to pay attention to the thought loops going on in your head. And you should hold every thought up to this standard. Is it true? Is it right? Is it helpful? Is it pure? Does this thought reflect the truth of what God says about me, or does it not? And you've got to throw out every thought that's not meeting this standard. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but real quick, you do know that not every thought you have originates with you, right? It doesn't. It doesn't. Satan loves nothing more than to trigger you with negative thoughts, usually about you. This is why Jesus called him the father of lies. Because he loves to introduce lies into your thought patterns that you then loop on over and over, creating untrue, negative neural pathways, because he knows that will limit you. He knows what it'll create in you. He knows it'll cripple you. And so Paul's point is, hey, you got to pay attention to the thought loops you got. And you got to make sure they reflect what is true about you, what God says about you. And he ends with this, because remember, he's telling us all this from experience, right? So he tells them, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me as I've gone through this and you've watched me deal with it, or you've seen in me, you got to put it into practice. It's not just going to happen. You got to work at it. But the promise is the God of peace will be with you. He'll be with you. You're not alone in the middle of your anxiety. Now, if you were to look at Paul and say, hey, how are you so confident this is true? How are you so confident God's going to be with me? How are you so confident he cares? How are you so confident that it matters to him that I navigate through my anxiety? Here's what I think Paul would tell you. I think he would say, oh, this is simple. See, the cross proves he's willing to help us. The cross proves that he cares. If he's willing to lay down his life for you, he cares about the anxiety that's battling you. He's willing to help. The cross proves that. The empty tomb proves he's capable of helping us. See, you can trust everything Jesus said because he rose from the dead. That is the validation for everything he taught. And you know what he said? He said, I will never leave you or abandon you. You don't have to be anxious about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. Don't worry about your life, about what you're going to eat or drink, about what's going to happen to you tomorrow, because I love you. I'll take care of you. So, in just a moment, the band's going to come back out. We're going to do one final song. And my hope is that this song gives you an opportunity to just express to God your willingness to trust him with whatever is creating anxiety in you. But before they come, I just want to ask you one final question. What's got you right here? My guess is you know exactly what it is. What's got you right here? Where you just can't stop rocking. You're just looping on it all the time. Are you willing to use your anxiety as a signal to surrender it, what's out of your control, to surrender it to your Heavenly Father who loves you and has all control? Are you willing to say, God, I want to give you my job situation, this really messy situation with my kid, this relationship where I don't know where it's going, the uncertainty about my future, all the pain and disappointment I have because I'm not at this place in life with this relationship or this kind of circumstance. God, I want to give you my health situation, the things that are stressing me financially. I don't know what it is for you. Are you willing to say, God, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm going to control what I can control, but I'm going to trust you to do what only you can do. I want to get out of the rocking chair. And for some of you who maybe you've never taken a step to follow Jesus, but you realize he gave his life for you because he cares that much about you. Maybe for you, you could go a step further and say, I just want to give you my life. And I want to figure out what it looks like to see myself the way you see me, Jesus, and to be loved the way you love. So before we sing, would you pray with me? Father, for those who are battling anxiety at all kinds of different levels, in all kinds of different ways, would you just give them the wisdom to be able to see it as a signal to surrender, to open their hands up, to let go of whatever it is that they're facing? That they'll just, as Paul said, look to you and just ask you for the outcome that they can't create on their own. And then they'll have enough courage to to evaluate their thoughts against what you say is true about them. In this moment, we just want to say we trust you. We want to trust you with everything we have. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, if you'd like more content like this, subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our Journey app to access all of our recent message content. And our app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. For more information on our church or to find our app or our YouTube channel, just visit journeycalway.com. That's journeycalway.com. Thanks for listening.